Accession number 12782, Reel 1.
Mrs. Atfield, Reel 1. Could we start, please, by your telling me where you were born and something about your family background?
I was born in Lewisham. Lewisham Road, near the brewery.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a greengrocer. He had four or five shops in Lewisham.
And you were telling me that your origins are continental.
My father's family were Jewish and came from Holland. In the middle of the 19th century, I should estimate. They had a tobacconist business at the top end of the Old Kent Road. And I can remember my grandfather because he used to give me clay pipes to blow bubbles with. On my mother's side, it was an old established Jewish family by the name of Abrahams. And my maternal grandfather married his Irish housekeeper, so I'm a quarter Irish, which is counts my dark eyes, apparently, the Celt.
What was your maiden name?
B-A-R-M-E-S, I told you that.
Yes. How do you pronounce it?
Barnes.
Did you go to school in Lewisham?
Yes, I went to St. Mary's Church of England School. Well, Lewisham Road, I suppose. Well, now opposite St. Mary's Church, that little school there.
And
I had a very good start. I was the only Jewish girl there, and I was excused prayers and used to go to the headmaster's room and study while everybody else was attending prayers. But I knew all the hymns, I'm told.
You any recollections of the First World War?
Yes, because I used to go home from school and have my tea and then go out with a collecting tin to Ladywell Station and rattle it. And I can remember how thrilled I was when a man put a 10-shilling note in the tin. That was for wounded soldiers. And that a neighbour of ours had some soldiers billeted in her house, and I used to go and make coconut ice for them occasionally. And of course I remember that my older brother, Dave, was killed in France, having survived the Gallipoli landings, been home on leave. He went to France and was killed there. What happened? Oh, the shock of which brought on my father's Parkinson's disease, so that my father was an invalid for the last 20 years of his life. But before that, he'd had several greengrocer's businesses in Lewisham, that he always wore a white apron overall in the shop and was known as the gentleman greengrocer of Lewisham.
Did you see any bombing or zeppelin?
Yes, there was a bomb hit the house in Vickers Hill, and we lived in Algiers Road and had shrapnel on our stove after the bomb, and we rushed out into the street afterwards to pick up shrapnel, and that my oldest brother, when he was home, used to sleep with his head in the pot cupboard under the dresser in the kitchen.
How old would you have been then?
Nine. And I remember on Sunday morning going to synagogue. We were near Brockley Cross. And is it Brockley Cross where Lewisham Road and there's a road goes off to Brockley by the War Memorial there? And there was a Zeppelin overhead. And a woman grabbed me and my younger brother and took us into her house. So that much of Zeppelin life I can remember. Otherwise, no, not much, I think. Well, the school used to go over to the church crypt during air raids. I can remember that. And then, of course, I took my scholarship exam and in September 1918, I started at Sydenham County Secondary School. September, that would have been just about the end of the war.
Did you see any giving of white feathers to soldiers?
No.
Do you remember the end of the war with the armistice?
Oh, yes. Everybody brought out furniture and everything and burnt. We had bonfire in the street in Algiers Road. And, of course, everybody went mad with joy. And the homecoming of my various brothers.
Now, you were telling me earlier off the record that during the Spanish Civil War, you were engaged in some activity then. How had you become interested in politics?
Well, the headmistress of my grammar school was a Labour supporter. So at that stage, I was quite an ardent royalist. But I began to think, and then... where did I start? Yeah, I did some canvassing for the Labour Party in my first election. Now, I got the 21, I suppose it would be 1928. And street corner speaking and canvassing with the Labour Party people.
In Lewisham?
Yes, at Forest Hill Station I did my street corner speaking, I can remember, opposite the station. And I apparently held the audience, so somebody told me. Then I found, you're going into my life history now. The Labour Party was inactive between elections, so I joined the Independent Labour Party through a friend at classes when I was studying for the council's administrative exam. So then from the ILP, I went on through this same friend and Harry Pollitt to join the Communist Party.
How did you come into contact with Harry Pollitt?
Through Edith King. Now, Edith King married Fenner Brockway and went back to the ILP. But she left me. I stayed in the Communist Party.
Did you meet Edith King through the Lewisham ILP?
No, she was the acquaintance at County. At least we used to go to evening classes together. We both worked for the old London County Council, and we had to go to evening classes to get the promotion exam, to take the promotion exam, which I eventually passed, but she didn't. And we were, you know, because we both worked and we were at the same classes, we got friendly and talked politics.
How had Edith King come to know Fenner Brockway?
I don't know that, honestly. She probably met him through some activities of hers she was involved with.
How did you find the comparison between the ILP and the Communist Party at that time?
I thought the Communist Party was more fundamental. It went, you know, more deeply into problems. It had more possible solutions. Mind you, I was a great admirer of... both Fenner and Jimmy Maxton. But
did you get to know either of them?
Well, Fenner fairly well because of my friendship with Edith. I visited them a few times.
Where did they live?
Somewhere central London at that time. She never became Lady Brockway. She was too much of a Democrat. She must have died some years ago, though.
Were the type of people in the ILP similar to the kind of people in the Communist Party?
Yes, quite. We had a group at Downham. I used to remember meetings up there and somewhere in somebody's house on the Downham estate when I was in the ILP, and we had Sack Lavala as a speaker on a few occasions at the street corner by Woolworths.
What was he like?
Indian. Very, very effective as a speaker. Very sound politically, I thought. Still, this isn't the war.
Can we come on to the Spanish Civil War? And
the Spanish Civil War would be through my political associations with the Communist Party. And I met a man whose wife was working as a doctor in the government forces. And I used to give money, and I used to go on demos for arms for Spain. That's all. I didn't do anything more active than that, that I can remember.
Where were the demonstrations?
I can remember one in London somewhere. I'm not really up on it, but there were demos in London, and I probably went to them. But of course, all this time, I was not only working full-time, but I was, from 1934 onwards, well, previous to that, I was at evening classes studying from this council exam. And the moment I passed that, I joined up at LSE as an evening student to take a BSc Econ degree, so that my political activities were mostly confined to cheering on the edges, because I hadn't much time. Apart from being able to, you know, give money and support.
What were you doing when the Second World War broke out in September 39?
September 39. I was working at County Hall on school health work, and the children were all evacuated. So I was sent to Dulwich Hospital to help the steward of Dulwich Hospital in an administrative capacity. And from then until about 1942, I stayed there. I used to handle the patients' ration cards and their property and give their... When people died, I had to give the property back to the relatives. And I can remember being proud of the fact that they'd come into my office in tears and go out smiling. The old Irish gift of the gab. And I used to organise entertainments for the nursing staff. And so that's about all I can... Then I was transferred to staff section and was involved in staffing hospitals. And we were based at my old school at Sydenham, my old grammar school. So when I was on fire-watching duties, I used to cook... Now, what was it? Sausages and onion and mashed potato on the Bunsen burners in the lab. I was very popular on night-watching sessions. And we had the... I had a fire station, you know, service based up there. And the Germans did come past and try to bomb us. But I think they hit the netball court once. Then, while I was there, the council sent down an instruction that anyone who felt strongly about the war, even though in a reserved occupation, would be allowed to volunteer and be treated as, you know, have a pay made up. So my colleague said, you've been talking about the second front, here's your chance. So I volunteered for the Wrens.
Just before we go into the Wrens, if I could ask you some more questions about the earlier part of the war. Do you remember the start of the bombing in London?
Yes. I lived in Camberwell Grove at the top of a 4 or 5-storey house, at the top of a hill, and the whole building used to sway in the bombing. And I used to stand on the balcony and watch the bombs falling round South East London. Ah, there's that delighted.
Did you ever come close to being bombed out?
Yes, we had one on the parallel road, and it broke every window in the block of flats in which I lived, except in my flat at the top. But what did go was the bust of Lenin, which was blown off the sideboard onto the floor and broke. At the time, I was sleeping down in the basement flat as an invited, you know, guest, and glass splattered all over us, but luckily we had hung a blanket over the window, so I was as near as that.
What was public morale like in the bombing?
I can't remember any panicking. I think people seemed to take it in their stride, as it were. Of course, the phone, it got worse after I left London, didn't it? The V2s and things came in after 1943, if I remember rightly.
Yes,
and
the V1 started in June 1944.
44, yeah. Well, I was already away in Southampton, which had been bombed, and then I moved up to Liverpool, which had also been bombed, so I was fairly lucky. I used to travel to and from London to Southampton and later to Liverpool by train in blackout and so on.
But coming back to the earlier part, yeah. Did you ever come across people who adopted a defeatist attitude, who said, we can't stand this bombing?
No, I don't remember anybody. I would have given them short shrift. No, I can't remember any such incidents.
Did you? Where did you shelter yourself from the bombs?
Well, in that basement on that particular occasion, but mostly I stayed up in the flat.
Did you ever use the public shelters?
Once, when I was with my brother and sister-in-law at Bexley Heath. We went down into a public shelter, but I only remember going down once, never otherwise. Of course, in the meantime, I had fallen in love with an ex-sailor who took it all in his stride, and he stayed with me during the raids. So I never had any occasion to feel afraid. As long as he and I and the dog were safely together, I didn't care. So whatever happened would happen to all of us, three of us. So I don't remember ever feeling very scared or worried.
What were the public shelters like inside?
I don't know. I can't remember. I think it was just a concrete cavern, as it were. The one I went into. But I didn't go in any others.
Did people hate the German air crews who were carrying out the bombing? What was their attitude?
Oh, yes, I think so. The old story, no, there's no good German but a dead one, was quite an extant feeling. Yes, there was a considerable dislike of the Germans, especially for the Holocaust among my circle. I mean, a lot of communists and any Jewish people I knew, of course. And that was the reason why I was so enthusiastic about the war, of course, because of what they were doing to the Jews.
So did you agree with the Communist Party's line on the war at the beginning?
No, I can't think I did, because when I heard, and rumours did start to come through to us about the treatment of Jews. Well, there was one joke I remember about the shop that had noticed, no, it was a restaurant, no Jews served here, and somebody had put underneath it, and no butter, and no cheese, and no eggs. So the stories were coming through, and so I don't think at the time I was against the war. You know, I was sort of quite glad that we should go in and have a go at them.
Did you get involved in any agitations against government policy during the war with regard to the use of tubes or shelters or anything like that?
No, I don't remember being involved in that. Or asking them to open the tubes, I probably did, but certainly would be something I would advocate.
But there aren't any tubes where you lived in London?
No, there were none in South East London anyway. No, I don't know what shelters we had, only cellars and church crypts. And as I say, I never used any. There was a shelter at Catford, wasn't there, that was bombed with the people in it. But I never used such a thing.
Do you remember any streets or buildings in the Lewisham area that were badly bombed, or the Camberwell area?
Well, the top of Dog Kennel Hill, there was certainly some destruction.
Where's Dog Kennel Hill?
Camberwell. In Camberwell, between Camberwell and Dulwich. Because that's where I lived, so I would notice that. And of course I must have seen devastation. My husband, at least he was then, but my boyfriend, shall I say, used to cycle from Lewisham to Camberwell, where we lived. And he used to stop when he saw a firebomb in the house and, you know, wake the people up to, or go in and help them put it out. He did that several times. So he saw more devastation, but he was around more. At that time, you see, I was living at the top of Dog Kennel Hill, working in Dulwich Hospital. So I had a short walk to and from. I didn't see a lot of devastation. And certainly they didn't hit the hospital while I was working there.
Did you go into the centre of London to see the devastation there?
No, I can't remember doing so.
Now, I interrupted you with you saying that you decided to join the Wrens. How did you go about doing it?
You know, I can only remember a medical that they sent me for at a church in Catford, Torridon Road, I think it was, and that being in love, I didn't really want to go, so I told them all my disabilities, and the doctor said, "Never mind, dear, as you're a volunteer, we'll ignore that." It's rather an amusing part of the... And anyway, they sent for me to go to Mill Hill Holding Depot, where I was measured for a uniform, because being only 4'9¾", they had none in stock. They had to alter things for me. And I had a fortnight there of learning how to drill. And then they sent me to Southsea for another holding depot, and from there into HMS Shrapnel at Southampton, where I used to refer to myself as a little bit of shrapnel.
Was that for training?
No, that was to act as a confidential book corrector, and I had to, you see, I was older by then than most of the younger ones, and I know the recruiting officer said, "Oh, you're just the type we need for administrative work." But, of course, all the officers' jobs were filled by then, so I remained just a Wren. But I had to maintain the Admiral's list of ships, you know, the ones that went down and the new ones that were put in place and so on, and take the mail over to the Isle of Wight with one or two other people. Remember coming back on our MFV and they always regaled us with kippers and jam, bread and jam for tea.
And the title of the job was Confidential Book Corrector.
Yes, that was my, yes, Confidential Book Corrector. Then there I was on the Brains Trust as part of the entertainment of the forces. Somehow they found me funny. The officers said, we always come when you're on because you make us laugh. I don't remember the first question that I was asked was, why is kissing regarded as a sign of affection? And my answer was, well, the way to a man's stomach is through his... No, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's right. And that got a roar of applause.
Where was this Brains Trust?
In Southampton, in the... whatever they used as recreation centre there. And then on another occasion, one of the seamen asked, can the panel explain dialectical materialism? And of course I had to, being the only one who'd ever heard of it. I used to read the Daily Worker quite openly in the office.
Were you discriminated against because of it?
No. No, the officers used often to ask my advice about their affaire de coeur. And the only time I was discriminated against was when one of the officers came round looking for a guard of honour for some royal personage and looked at me and said, I want normal-sized wrens, thank you, Barnes. I suppose I would have looked out of place. No, I seem to have quite, you know, good relations with everybody around in the forces.
Was Southampton badly damaged at that time?
It had been, yeah. But I don't remember any raids much while I was there. Nothing that disturbed me anyway.
Where was the devastation mostly?
Oh, near the docks and the railways. Well, one was so used to it, you know, you didn't really notice it. Well, I remember one occasion when a young officer from the Navy asked me to go for a walk with him one evening, and we wandered into the woods. And when we sat down, I gave him a lecture on primitive communism. And when we came out, he said, that's not what I took you in the woods for. And I said, yes, I know. End of story.